First Epistle of St. John, chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is the word of God. You may be seated. In the name of our Lord, whenever Christians come together for worship throughout the Christian church year, their coming together is a celebration of the grace of God. If that element is lacking, there's really nothing distinctively Christian about people coming together. In the traditional calendar of the Christian church year, this particular week puts the concept of the grace of God in the spotlight in a very special way. This is the week following the first of the pre-Lenten Sundays, the Sunday traditionally called Septuagesima, or the Sunday that falls about 70 days before Easter. The scriptures teach us the concept of the grace of God by a variety of rhetorical techniques or ways of communication. These techniques range from the highly metaphorical and figurative on the one hand, to the most straightforward and plain communication on the other hand. The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame are invited to a banquet feast. They enjoy the generosity of a gracious and benevolent host, and even though they have nothing to offer, even though they have no basis for claiming a right to be at the banquet. By way of a parable, Jesus offers us an illustration of the grace of God. By metaphor, by figure of speech, he shows us the meaning of the grace of God, a free banquet feast for the unworthy. In other places, all figurative language is set aside, and it is simply asserted in plainest language, composed in the style of an epistle, as one might write a letter to someone to define and explain a concept. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This is simply a proclamation of the grace of God. The illustration in Jesus' parable, which we heard about on Monday, and the straightforward proclamation in St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, which we heard yesterday, both teach the same thing. They celebrate salvation, the salvation by grace alone principle, which stands at the very core of all Christian teaching. In our reading for today, another apostle, in this case St. John, takes still another approach to communicating the concept of the grace of God. He begins, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." This expression brings together two more strategies of communication. First of all, it's a rhetorical question. It's in the form of a question. What manner of love is this? But the apostle is not really asking his readers or hearers anything. Rather, he is making an assertion. The assertion is that the grace of God is something surprising and extraordinary. The grace of God is a kind of love that is truly unique, one of a kind, unlike anything else in human experience. But there is more going on here than simply a rhetorical question. Modern Bible translations invariably punctuate this sentence not with a question mark, but with an exclamation point. The apostle makes his point by exclamation. That is, by an outburst of surprise and admiration for the idea that he is dealing with. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. This is the aged Apostle John speaking here. He is looking back across the decades of the first century. He's looking back to the day Jesus of Nazareth called him to be his disciple and apostle. He came to know this Jesus as the Son of God from eternity, who entered our world in the miracle of all miracles, the incarnation, that miracle by which God took to himself our humanity. His purpose was to show forth the grace of God among mankind for our redemption. How did John come to know and understand these things about Jesus? Well, the answer to that question reveals why he expresses his amazement here. The world, he says, that is the collective wisdom and ability of mankind, does not know and cannot know Jesus as the Son of God in human flesh, the Savior of mankind. In the first chapter of his gospel, John explains, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So powerful and complete was the barrier that separated fallen mankind from God that the world could not know the Son of God as he walked among men. Rather, it was capable only of unbelief, hatred, and rejection of him. St. Paul sums up the same truth in these words addressed to all humanity. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, that is the devil. You were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So how does it happen that those who by nature are called the children of wrath and the children of the devil come to be called and become in reality the children of God? And the answer, in a word, is the concept we celebrate today, by grace alone. God demonstrates his grace toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, the ungodly. This is the grace of God. God demonstrates his grace toward us also in this, that he doesn't wait for us to come to him to receive the salvation Christ won for us. He delivers it to us right where we are, in the washing of holy baptism, in the word of absolution, and in the sacrament of his body and blood. This is the grace of God. God demonstrates his grace toward us also in this, that he doesn't wait for us to acquire the faith that takes hold of salvation. He creates it in our hearts and minds. It is the work of God that you believe that in the Savior whom he has sent. This is the grace of God toward you. It is the will of God that you should know and believe in his saving grace. He is communicating that message to us in many ways and in many styles. He illustrates it for us in parables. He declares it to us in clear and simple words. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Let us all pray. Please rise and turn to page 167, and we will join in Dr. Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.